إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور شيء بالله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Inshallah ta'ala, in our session tonight, which will be the last session until the end of Ramadan anyway, perhaps it's most relevant for me to talk on a very important subject, the tartib, the sunnah method of performing Salatul Taraweeh. Not only is it Sunnate Mu'aqada, but it is also in somewhat related to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an's own decisions, and we need to understand that. The word Taraweeh comes from the Arabic word Tarweeha. Tarweeha is singular and Taraweeh is the plural. Tarweeha would mean a brief pause, the interval that we have in Salatul Taraweeh after two rakats, and then you will sit for a bit. That waiting period, that interval between the first Tarweeha to the second Tarweeha. And so because you have many Tarweeha, many intervals in Salatul Taraweeh in the 20 rakats, the night prayer after Salatul Isha in the month of Ramadan became known as Salatul Taraweeh, according to the Muhaddiseen. If you study the books of Ahadith, you won't find the word Taraweeh. Instead, you will find the word Qiyamul Layl. Qiyamul Layl means the standing in the night. Again, the Muhaddiseen have mentioned, it's very clear, when you talk about Qiyamul Layl in the month of Ramadan, generally it refers to the system of Salatul Taraweeh. So we need to understand that. Taraweeh became Sunnah in Madinatul Munawwara. Muhaddiseen have mentioned Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not enforce upon the companions as to make it an obligation on them that it is farz for them to read Salatul Taraweeh, but rather he would encourage the companions. He would meet them and encourage them that after Salatul Isha they should perform Salatul Taraweeh in their nawafil individually and somewhere in groups, two people, three people, scattered in Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in that manner, Salatul Taraweeh was performed during the time of Nabiyyu Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One hadith which is recorded by Imam Nasa'i Rahmatullah Alayh, it is mentioned, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the companions, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made fasting an obligation for you, and I have made Salatul Taraweeh my sunnah upon you. So fasting is the farz from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that Salatul Taraweeh, I have made that a sunnah upon my ummah. Now one very important question: did Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perform Salatul Taraweeh with Jama'at? Did he lead the companions in the congregational manner that we do nowadays? The answer is yes. How many days? According to one narration, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Taraweeh with Jama'at for one night. And in another narration, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Salatul Taraweeh in Jama'at with the companions for only three nights. We have one riwayat, one narration, and the narrator is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This hadith is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. She says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the companions in Salatul Taraweeh for the first night, and he stood in Taraweeh for approximately one third of the night. And then the second night, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood for Taraweeh for the half the night. And then in the third night, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in Taraweeh for the entire night. So we have two narrations. The first narration tells us that he performed Taraweeh with Jama'at for one night. And then the second riwayah tells us, which is in Bukhari, narrator Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Salatul Taraweeh for three nights. So this is the sunnah, it is established for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform Taraweeh with Jama'at, that is sufficient for us. Another very important question is, how many rakats do we perform? Is it 8 rakats that we should pray, or is it 20 rakats that we should pray? Allahu Akbar, you'll find a lot of the youth who have a very shallow understanding of hadith, very shallow understanding of hadith, and they will want to argue with you on knowledge that they haven't understood very well anyway. They haven't actually understood the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, no doubt, we do have some narrations. In fact, one narration, which is in Musnad Abi Ya'la and also Tabarani, in which the companions have said Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 8 rakats followed by 3 rakats witr. 8 rakats and then 3 rakats witr. So you will find a lot of people in our masajid, alhamdulillah, not so much from those who are from the Hindu-Pak continent, but generally it becomes a trend with the youth anyway. They want something that's completely new all the time. That's how it is with the youth. You have one car, it's not good enough, you want another car, a bit high, a bit high, a bit high, a bit high, and until it's very high. That's how it is. Allahu Akbar. You have a mobile phone, no, it's not good, upgrade it, upgrade it, upgrade it, upgrade it. So they have this tendency of upgrading things. And for 20 rakats, which the ulama, muhaddiseen, madahib, arba, all have been practicing, it's not enough for them to digest. And so you'll see a group of people actually, after 8 rakats, just walk out. Ulama have mentioned this hadith. In this hadith, we have, in the narrators of this hadith, we have one person whose name is Isa bin Jariyah. What's his name? Isa bin Jariyah. So you have narrators. I have heard from that person has heard from that person, a system of narrators. In the chain of narrators, we have a man whose name is Isa bin Jariyah. Of this hadith, who says, the companions say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 8 rakats. Now Isa bin Jariyah is a very weak link from amongst all the chain of narrators. The muhaddiseen have classified him as a very weak person in ahadith. People like Alama Yahya bin Mu'in, who is the master in this art of jarh wa ta'dil. Jarh wa ta'dil means this knowledge, this science of understanding after strict scrutiny of each of the narrators of ahadith. You have people like Yahya bin Mu'in, who is the imam of that in Asma'ur Rijal. And so he says that Isa bin Jariyah is a very, very weak person. And Imam Nasa'i rahmatullah alayh has gone as far as saying that he is matruk. Now matruk would mean someone who he abandons totally, who he is not considered. So we have a team of muhaddiseen who have actually said that Isa bin Jariyah, because he is in the chain of narrators. So this hadith is very, very weak. Now this hadith is there in Musnad Abi Ya'la. And then you have many, many narrations that talk about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing 20 rak'ats. We have one riwayat in the Bayhaqi, Sunan al-Kubra of Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi. You have Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. In that kitab also you have a hadith which talks about Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam performing 20 rak'ats. Now the narrator of the hadith is the cousin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform 20 rak'ats followed by the 3 rak'ats witr. Now muhaddiseen have said that when you compare both the narrations, the 8 rak'ats with this person only in that chain, he is always there, Isa bin Jariyah. And then you have the 20 rak'ats, which is mentioned in different narrations. Ulama have said that the 20 rak'ats narration is more authentic than the 8 rak'ats narration, 8 rak'ats riwayat. Now it's important, my brothers, that I know this is not some tulab, students taking on knowledge of hadith, but at least some knowledge, basic knowledge of Taraweeh, we need to have with us. You will find a lot of people using a lot of muscle taking on the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, and literally some of the people show you the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they'll say to you, oh look, you know, in your masjid you people pray 20 rakats, this is bid'ah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some of them go as far as saying this is bid'ah, and then they will say, look, this is the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, and in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 8 rakats. There is nothing in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi that talks about 8 rakats. Rather, a group of people want to mislead the people. What they do is they quote one very famous hadith. Again, the narrator is Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Someone asked her, Ummul Mu'mineen, what is the practice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night prayers? In the night prayers, what is the practice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night prayers? And what she said, these are the words to my best understanding. She said, ma kana yazidu fi ramadan wala fi ghayri ramadan ala ihda ashara rak'at. I quote to you the words of Amma Aisha, the mother of this ummah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, Hazrat Aisha. She says that it was the habit of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not increase from eight rakats and then 3 rakats witr, whether it is in the month of Ramadan or after the month of Ramadan. Actually the words are ala ihda ashar. Ihda ashar means 11. And so a literal translation would be, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not pray more than 11 rak'ats, be it Ramadan or after Ramadan. Be it Ramadan or after Ramadan. Now, this is the only text that you will find in Bukhari Sharif that talks about 3 rak'ats being witr, and then you have 8. So 8 and 3, yeah? Now, where does it say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Taraweeh? Does it say anywhere about Taraweeh? No, nothing at all. And in fact, Hazrat Aisha is clearly saying that ma kana yazidu fi Ramadan wala fi ghayri Ramadan. Be it the month of Ramadan or even after Ramadan, he would not increase more than 11 rak'ats. 3 rak'ats would be witr, and then the 8 rak'ats. Now what we want to know is, these 8 rak'ats performed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the opinion of the muhaddiseen? We have a group of people who promote this package of 8 rakats very, very vigorously, very strongly. Not so much in Leicester perhaps, but if you go in areas like Birmingham and if you go to London, Allahu Akbar, and you will find this trend of youth want to, you know, delete and add in the Sharia however they want and whatever they want. So they have to be very, very careful. Ulama have mentioned that Hazrat Aisha is talking about the Tahajjud Salah. Which Salah is this? Tahajjud Salah, not Taraweeh. And so they quote Bukhari saying that, look, the 3 rakats was Witr and the 8 rakats. What was that 8 rakats? A lot of people don't have that deep understanding of Hadith and they just read the text and the translation and they will say, okay, fine, 8 rakats. So they have that doubt that am I doing the right thing? What people fail to understand that this is the Tahajjud of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And explaining the same Hadith, Hazrat Aisha, in another narration, she says that don't ask me about the beauty and the length of the 4 rakats. And then after completing the 4 rakats, don't ask me again of the beauty and the length of the 4 rakats. So do we pray Taraweeh for 4 rakats? How many rakats Taraweeh do we pray? The breakup is 2 rakats to the 20 rakats. And here Hazrat Aisha is clearly saying that don't ask me of the length and the beauty in that salah of 4 rakats. Very long salah. Who is prepared to read such a long salah from after Isha until Tahajjud, until Subah Sadiq? Who is prepared to read that? So very long salah. That is the Tahajjud of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nowhere in the ahadith will you find that. Ulama muhaddiseen have clearly mentioned that the tartib is of 20 rakats, which is more authentic, and the practice of generally all the ulama and the fuqaha. So we need to read how many rakats? 20 rakats. Let me even say, the first person to say that the 8 rakats, the 20 rakats Taraweeh system is a bid'ah, That person, his name is Al-Hilli, who was a Shia, a well-renowned person. He has written a book called Al-Minhajul Karama. And one of our scholars has said this kitab is not Al-Minhajul Karama, rather Al-Minhajul Zalala. In fact, Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has written a book against him. So this man whose name is Al-Hilli, he was a Shia, and Shias all have this tendency to swear. Literally, swear at Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but this is a true fact. And so he was the first man objecting to the decision taken by Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, which we will explain. So the first man to say that 20 rakats is bid'ah is a man whose name was Al-Hilli, and he was a Shia. I had an opportunity, la ilaha illallah. I met the Shia in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a stone in front of him. He was performing salah. He was standing in qiyam. As I was just passing by, I noticed a stone, a pebble, and I picked it up whilst he was in his salah. We are Muslims, aren't we? We are not Hindus. We don't prostrate to idols or stones or anything of that nature. And I picked it up in salah. I still remember that. And this man, I don't know, obviously he noticed what I had done in his salah. Very quickly he went into ruku, sujood, quickly he made salam. What do you think you're doing? مَرَّ تَفْعَلُونَ He was an Arab. And I said to him, well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm cleaning Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from your filth. We don't want dirt in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we want dirt? Well, what's this stone for? Did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever put a stone? Which hadith? La ilaha illallah. Now when he saw that, boy, this Maulana is also very Jalali. See, I'm not one of those, you slap me and I'll say, right, you know, take my other cheek and slap me. You slap me and I'll slap you twice. And I said to him, I took the stone, I said to him, come out. And we walked it to Jannatul Baqi. And I said to him, he said to me first that let's read Fatiha where the Ahl Bayt people are. We read all the Ashab-e Kiram were there. I said, okay, now we need to go to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Wallahi lazim, when I said Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala mushtaq, this man started to shiver. Ajib. And the Sahaba say, Ajib dushmani. I said to him, look, you told me that we must read Fatiha where the Ahl Bayt are resting. Alhamdulillah, as Sunni Muslims, we love the Ahl Bayt. Now I want you to come to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu. He says, oh no, I have to go, I need to go now. I said, fine, now I understand. What our teachers were telling us is the truth. And in that conversation, he said to me, Allahu Akbar, and I just quote to you what he said. He said to me, never mind Khomeini. Is Khomeini better or Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? Somehow the conversation that started ended up in this manner. He said to me, I don't want to compare Khomeini to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said to me, even you are better than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Brothers, if you ever have experience with these people, filth. The aqaid is full of filth. And in front of you, oh, you look at Khomeini, black pagri, big beard, and oh, jabba shabba, and you see him how he is, and oh, the tasbih, and you feel that, oh, ho, buddy, this guy must be the biggest sheikh around. The biggest sheikh around. And that is why it is important to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His kalam. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the period of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had munafiqeen who came to the masjid. And Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They come to you and they say that you are the Rasul of Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ. And Allah knows you are the Rasul. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدْ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah testifies that these people who say that you are the Rasul, they are all hypocrites. All munafiqeen. From the outside they are something, from the inside they are something. And you have this system of hypocrisy in the ummah today. And that is why there is a warning in the Quran. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That the munafiqeen will be punished in such a manner that the most severe punishment in Jahannam, right at the bottom of Jahannam, may Allah save us, will be the munafiqeen. So you had Al-Hilli, who is the munafiq, and he accused and objected first upon Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now we understand during the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Tarawih for 3 nights or 1 night, as mentioned in the riwayat. He encouraged the companions to perform Tarawih. Same thing during the period of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. During Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq's Khilafat, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was so preoccupied with the internal affairs, and his period of Khilafat was very, very short. So it was the same system. Then when we come to the period of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in the early years of the Khilafat, again it was the same system adopted by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Then later on, when he noticed in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the month of Ramadan, people were scattered. You had a few people performing Tarawih, one or two here, two groups here, three groups here. He called Abu Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, and in some riwayat Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala, Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala came, who is known as one of the most senior qurra or qari from amongst the sahaba, a hafiz of the Quran, and he would recite the Quran very beautifully. So he said to Ubay bin Ka'ab that what I want you to do is read the Quran in the night, and I'm going to make sure that the whole of the ummah reads behind you in a congregational manner. I don't want people to be scattered. So Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab was the imam during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Now one can imagine there are still many, many, many sahaba who are still alive. This is the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar. Remember, we have the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman to come, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So you still had senior sahaba-e-kiram ajma'een who were there. And he said, Ubay, I want you to read 20 rakats, followed by 3 rakats witr in Salatul Taraweeh, and read the Quran. This was the direct command of Amirul Mu'mineen, And all of the Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een that were there agreed to the fasla, to the decree of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and none objected. Not a single Sahabi objected. Allahu Akbar. And subhanallah, ulama have said that this is the ijma'. Ijma' means the consensus of all of the Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. Now one can imagine, if someone says that 20 rakats Taraweeh is wrong, you are indirectly accusing not just Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the entire team of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. The consensus was taken in Masjid-e Nabwi, Hazrat Umar Farooq is there, and all of the Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een are there. Now this becomes not just sunnat, it becomes sunnat-e muakkada. Why is it sunnat-e muakkada? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously prayed Salatul Taraweeh. So this sunnah became sunnat-e muakkada, and it also became the consensus of all of the Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. And that is why, my respected brothers, until today, alhamdulillah, we find that even in Makkah Mukarrama, with a lot of the internal politics that are out there, we still perform 20 rakats Taraweeh. And inshallah we will do, hopefully, until the coming of Imam Mahdi, inshallah, we will read 20 rakats. And even in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we read how many rakats? 20 rakats. So the correct manner of reading Salatul Taraweeh is how many rakats? 20 rakats. And if someone says, oh, it is just sunnah, and without a valid reason he wants to miss the sunnah, which is sunnat-e muakkada, according to the fuqaha, he becomes sinful. He is gunegar. He is very much gunegar. You find a lot of people who come to the masjid, they read their first salah and walk out. And they don't even read sunnah. And they don't, whether it is muakkada, ghair muakkada, wallahu alam. But we have seen a lot of people, and you hear people talking about this, a lot of people just read farz and they go. We must make it a habit to also respect and honor the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the khilafat of Hazrat Umar, this is not an innovation. This is not a bid'ah. Already we have the system of Taraweeh, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying Taraweeh for 20 rakats. That is there. And already we have in the hadith by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha telling us that he read in Jama'at. Now for those brothers who differ with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on one side they say that 20 rakats is wrong, and they take on the other side, the other riwayat, which is of 8 rakats, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. What they fail to understand, that if you want to follow the sunnah, then you should not be reading with jama'at throughout the month of Ramadan, because Rasulullah only read the most for how many nights? 3 nights. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you say what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an did was wrong, aliyazu billah, we don't say that. And that 8 rakat is the sunnah, not 20 rakats, fair enough. If that is the sunnah, then this is also the sunnah that Rasulullah did not read in a congregational manner more than how many nights? The most 3 nights. So why are you reading 8 rakats throughout the month of Ramadan? Where is it in the hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously read for 8 rakats with jama'at? It's not there. So if you follow one sunnah and leave the other sunnah, that's not right. What kind of Islam is that? So from the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, it was 20 rakats. No one objected. Not even a fabricated statement. Then came the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Again, in the time of Hazrat Uthman, everyone read 20 rakats. Then came the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and all of them also read how many rakats? 20 rakats. Very quickly, my respected brothers, we go on to the fuqaha now. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, Taraweeh is how many rakats? 20 rakats. According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, Taraweeh is how many rakats? 20 rakats. According to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, Taraweeh is how many rakats? 20 rakats. Now according to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, Taraweeh is how many rakats? 36. Nobody talks about 8. Huh? I nearly trapped you there, Idris, huh? Yeah. But you're right. The famous accepted narration from Imam Malik, and this hadith is also in the Muwatta of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. All of his followers, all of the Maliki scholars, all of the Maliki followers, all say that in Maliki the Tarawih is how many rakats? 20 rakats. But there is one riwayat of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he has two opinions. One is of 20 rakats and one is of how many? 36 rakats. Now who's there to read 36 rakats? Koi chari bhai? Who is there to read 36 rakats? Imam Malik says 30. Now in the Madani period, when you look at history, after the period of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, this was only specific to the people of Medina, because Imam Malik was from Madinatul Munawwara. Ajib Buzrug he was, Allahu Akbar, a great faqih, the Malikis. And that's why even today a lot of the Arabs follow the fiqh of Imam Malik, because he was a Madani. He was in Madinatul Munawwara. In Madinatul Munawwara, there was a little bit of competition between the people of Makkah and the people of Medina. And I will explain that and conclude the session. So just bear with me, my brothers, for a few more minutes. A little competition between the two. See, the people of Medina Munawwara have this pride, alhamdulillah, and they should. And the people of Makkah also, they feel that, alhamdulillah, we have so many things in Makkatul Mukarramah that Allah has blessed us with. Now, what will happen in Makkatul Mukarramah is when the Imam would complete his four rakats of Taraweeh, the first Tarweeha, the brief pause, the first Tarweeha, the people of Makkah would stand up and do Tawaf of the Kaaba. Fantastic, isn't it? So after four rakats, what they would do is the Imam would dress, drink kahwa, whatever he needs to. Like Mushtaq, understand my hint, right? And after four rakats, they would relax and you will find the shuyukh. All of the people of Makkah, mashallah, doing tawaf of the Kaaba. And then all of them completing the tawaf of Kaaba, then they would come back in their sufuf and the Imam would stand again and read another four rakats. Now after another four rakats, after eight rakats, they would sit again. And again they would do the tawaf of Kaaba. Privileged people. Now the people of Medina looked and said, hey, ajeeb baat hai bhai. Look at these people in Makkah. Now who is going to bring, what can they do in Medina Munawwara? There's no Makkah. It's difficult for them to do tawaf or travel all the time during those days. It was very difficult. Subhanallah, the hirs they had, the zeal they had to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how come the people of Makkah have this opportunity to do tawaf and they are winning. So now some of the fuqaha of Medina, this is during the period not of Sahaba, during the period of Tabi'een, and it was only a brief period. So they came up with another solution. They said, okay, we don't have Kaaba here to do tawaf. What we will do after every four rakats, we will read extra four rakats nafal. Subhanallah. We will read extra four rakats nafal. So in the whole package of Taraweeh, you have four Tarweeha. How many Tarweeha? Four Tarweeha. So four Tarweeha, in total you're praying extra 16 rakats. So 20 plus 16 would be 36. So in order just to keep balance with the people of Makkah, because the people of Makkah were doing tawaf. How fortunate they are. And that is why even today, when you look, subhanallah, at the mataf, during the time of Taraweeh, you will find that the Imam is performing Taraweeh, and you will have a lot of people who are just doing tawaf. And that is because, according to Sharia, you can't actually stop anyone from doing tawaf. Because tawaf is sunnati muakkada, and then you have the other opinions of the fuqaha, and then the maslaks of other scholars. But generally you will find that you will have a small group of people who will do tawaf even whilst Taraweeh is going on. But in Makkah that was the case, that after four rakats, nobody would perform Taraweeh and they would do tawaf. And so for a period of time, the people of Madinatul Munawwara in competition used to read extra 16 rakats. And that is where Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says that Taraweeh is how many rakats? 36 rakats. None of the fuqaha talk about 8 rakats. None of the fuqaha. So my brothers in Islam, my Sunni, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'at Muslim brothers, my brothers who follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, Oh, my brothers who follow the fiqh of Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik or Imam Shafi'i, what you are doing is right. Alhamdulillah, follow one imam, respect that imam and read 20 rakats. 20 rakats is the consensus of all of the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, darsi hadith, Allah wills, will start again after Eid al-Fitr, the week that comes. Inshallah, if we are still alive. Dua kalle. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك الله يا الله يا كريم اس مجلس کو قبول فرما الله ہماری مجالس کو قبول فرما يا الله یہ نوجوان لوگ جو آتے ہیں یہاں درس کو سننے کے لیے یا اللہ ان کو قبول فرما ان کے بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما اللہ ہماری نسبت حضور علیہ الصلات والسلام سے ہو جائے اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ ہم بڑے گنہگار ہے اوپر سے نیچے یا اللہ گناہ میں ملوث ہے اللہ تیری ذات پاک ہے اللہ تیری ذات نور ہے اللہ تو ہمیں پاک کر دے اللہ تو ہمیں پاک کر دے اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا مولا ہمیں توفیق دے ہم تیاری کر لے رمضان شریف کے لیے اللہ ہم نیک بن جائے صالح بن جائے عالم بن جائے عامل بن جائے صاحب قرآن بن جائے صاحب سنہ بن جائے اللہ ہمیں علم دے اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے اور ایسا علم دے کہ جو علم ہمیں دنیا میں بھی نفع دے آخرت میں بھی نفع دے ہمارے لیے صدقہ جاریہ ہو اللہ جو دعا ہمارے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے مانگی ہے اللہ وہ تمام دعا ہم مانگتے ہیں جن دعاؤں سے اللہ کے نبی نے پناہ مانگی ہے ہم بھی پناہ مانگتے ہیں اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر ہو جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے جس کی جو پریشانی ہو اللہ اس پریشانی کو دور فرما جس کو اولاد کی طرف سے پریشانی ہے اللہ تیرے غیب کے خزانے سے یا اللہ اس پریشانی کو دور فرما مولا جو بیمار ہے کئی لوگوں نے کہا ہے دعاؤں میں یاد رکھنے کے لیے اللہ ہر ایک کی حاجت کو یا اللہ ہر ایک کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہر ایک کو تندرستی دے یا اللہ یا رحیم یا کریم تیری ذات سمیع ہے سننے والی ہے اللہ قرآن کریم کی برکت سے حدیث پاک کی برکت سے اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا سبحان اللہ و بحمده سبحان اللہ العظیم نستغفرک و نتوب الیک سمعنا و اطعنا غفرانک ربنا و الیک المصیر برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین